At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming into 2024, lots of Giants fans, media, and apparently the coaching staff and front office was really excited about this Giants defense and what it might be able to do under new defensive coordinator Shane Bowen. What we saw in week one was something a little disturbing. It looked like a worse defense than last year. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I've got a Giant issue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of A Giant Issue. I am Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me. New York Giants on SI. That is where you can get all of your New York Giants news and information. Make sure that you stay tuned. Obviously, week one was not what anybody who was following and or rooting for the Giants were looking forward to seeing. We've already talked about the offensive issues, and I think it's important that we get to the things that kind of went wrong on defense, or maybe just was like a failure to launch on defense, because it goes a long way to serve kind of the thought process about what this defense could be, and what I think is more importantly, what Shane Bowen's value really is. Because when the Giants decided that they were going to bring in Shane Bowen, I was not excited about the hire. Number one, it was just kind of weird. Like, why did it take so long to get a defensive coordinator? And then my brain said, okay, well, people were turning the job now. Like, if we're being honest, that's how I felt looking at it. Like, oh, there must have been people turning down this job, and that's why it took so long to fill, right? And then we were watching Hard Knocks, and it seemed as if head coach Brian Daboll, this was his pick. Like, he wanted Shane Bowen. And it was interesting because while he was doing it, it was almost as if he was taking a dig at former defensive coordinator Wink Martindale, whom, by the way, he hired, because he was like, hey, look at this guy. Can we get someone in here to stop the run, right? Like, and I'm paraphrasing, but he definitely made mention to the fact that Shane Bowen had an ability to stop the run, right? And so I was kind of like, well, okay, I guess. And so here we go. But I remember watching Shane Bowen's teams, right? Like, I remember watching the Titans defense play over the last few years. And the one thing that I took away from the Shane Bowen defense was that they gave up a lot of points through the air. They gave up a lot of yards through the air. And so whenever you're a team, whenever you're a defense that gives up a lot of rushing yards, you don't tend to give up a lot of passing yards. And when you're a team, when you're a team that gives up a lot of passing yards, you don't tend to give up a lot of rushing yards, right? So for me, it was one of those things of, well, yeah, they're bad in the air. So teams are just throwing the ball. They're not running the ball. They're just throwing it as a form of running it, right? Like just moving the ball through the air because that defense plays so passively, and then beating them over the top because they didn't have any back end shape. Like that was the issue with the Titans. Like no pressure on the quarterback and no back end shape. And so, right, we're watching this Giants team week one, and then outside of Dexter Lawrence, no pressure on the quarterback, no back end shape. Well, wow, that's amazing. How does that happen? Like, how can you be known as a guy who stops the run if you're not stopping the run either? Because the Vikings were able to run. Now, it could have been a product of the fact that the Vikings were able to pass. And so then as the Giants started trying to stop the pass, the Vikings were running. So then I went back and I looked. I went back to last year for the Titans. Right? Shane Bowen's final season in Tennessee. Shane Bowen gave up 198 rushing yards to the Indianapolis Colts. At least his defense did. This is a guy who's supposed to be a run stopper, right? He gave up 139 yards to the Baltimore Ravens, 140 yards to the Falcons, 166 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 128 to the Jaguars, 158 to the Miami Dolphins, 148 to the Houston Texans, who were throwing the ball all over the place, 111 to the Houston Texans. That is 8 games last season where the Tennessee Titans gave up over 100 yards. That's not good if you're supposed to be the guy who stops the run, right? If you're supposed to be the guy who stops the run, then you can't give up over 100 yards in 8 of your 17 games. And in some of those other games, it was like 70-something yards and 80-something yards, and it's like that's what it should be, because this is the NFL. People are going to run the ball, right? But you can't give up over 100 yards, or am I tripping? So when I saw the Giants give up so many rushing yards, then I went back and I looked at those stats from last season. I went, oh, so Shane Bowen doesn't really do anything well. Doesn't really do anything particularly awesome. He just has one of those ho-hum defenses, right? He just has one of those defenses that just is, you know what I mean? It just is. The New York Giants gave up 111 on rushing yards in week one last year. Last year for Tennessee, Shane Bowen gave up 107.7 yards per game. That was good for the 14th best. Now, I'm not saying that this can't get better. I'm saying that this is kind of who he is. This is kind of who he is. And maybe we should have known that beforehand. Like, I've heard some people saying, oh, well, you want Shane Bowen to come in and run a particular style of defense, but you didn't give him what he needed in order to run the defense. You got quality explosive linemen up front. You've got Okereke at linebacker and then a bunch of other guys to play the other linebacker. Then you have three different styles of nickelback that you can bring in. You've got long athletic guys on the exterior, on the perimeter. You're playing zone. What am I missing? If Shane Bowen needed guys who could play man-to-man, guys who could lock up, then why did you get rid of Wink? What was the problem with Wink? Because the Wink defense was way more dynamic than this defense looks in game one or looked in game one. I'm not saying it'll end that way. Remember, like, this is just a one-game sample size, but we've got one game to talk about, so we're going to talk about one game, right? We're going to talk about one game because that's what we have to talk about. In 2023, Tennessee's passing defense ranked 18th, so not top half, right? Middle, lower middle, whatever you want to call it. It ranked 18th. They gave up 227.4 yards per game. And last Sunday, the New York Giants gave up 201 yards in a mercy killing, right? Could have been way more. Could have been way, 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 way more. They gave up 201 yards because they just didn't have to keep doing it. Now, here's something that you take as a positive, because I want to get to a positive before I start talking about specifics. I've just been talking about Shane Bowen, right, and what he can do as a defensive coordinator. He's going to have to be better than this. He's going to have to be better than this. But here's what I will tell you about the positives. This defense still has an ability to take the football away. Clearly, that wasn't just a product of Coach Wink Martindale, although I think he had a lot to do with it. It wasn't simply a product. They've continued the trend. They've continued the trend of taking the ball away from the opposing team. Two turnovers, right? Two turnovers. It's not their fault that the offense didn't do anything with them, but they're causing them. And turnovers are infectious. They're infectious for an offense in a bad way, and they're infectious for a defense in a good way. So it's great to see this team, this defense, still turning the ball over, right? That's a great thing. There seems to be some depth at linebacker next to Bobby Okereke. Mouassal played well, or at least Mouassal got to the ball, right? And so it's like we see that there's some depth being developed at linebacker, which is great. The issues, and then in the secondary, right? In the secondary, outside of a couple of big plays that got struck deep, they held their form. They held their form. The problem is that you cannot rely on a defensive backfield to just play passive if you're not getting any pass rush, if you're not getting any consistent pressure on the quarterback. But it's hard to get consistent pressure on the quarterback when your defensive backs are playing passive. Hence the problem. When they went man to man, because they were trying to be more aggressive, when they went man to man, they didn't send pressure. And so then the quarterback was able to get the ball out of his hands fast enough that the defensive line never had a chance to get there with a pass rush. I remember there was one time where Kayvon Thibodeau was like right near the arm as he was reaching out. By the way, I saw a lot of people had issue with Kayvon Thibodeau. Just say you don't like him, right? Like, just say you don't like his personality. But when I hear people act as if he's a bust after one game where he didn't record stats.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It just lets me know that you don't understand football. Kayvon Thibodeau plays a position where you're not always going to be in on plays. Number one, he's not J.J. Watt. He's not J.J. Watt. Right? He's playing an offense that's going to get the ball out of their hands fast. Why? Because they don't have all of that much faith in the quarterback. But he's not J.J. Watt. He's not 270 out here. He's not. And whatever they have him listed at size-wise, they're probably lying. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? They inflate the size in the NFL the same way they inflate the size in college and in high school. He's a smaller dude, right? He's a smaller dude when you're talking about defensive linemen, which is what he is when he's down on the line. He's a defensive lineman. He's dealing with double teams sometimes, and he's not Dexter Lawrence, right? He's not 325 pounds bursting through there like the Kool-Aid man. There are going to be games where, because of the way the plays are ran, because of his assignments, because of things that he has to do, where he does not make a play. He does not make a statistical play. But what he does helps other people make plays. That's how it works when you're on the defensive line. Now, not getting a sack, if you want to say, hey, he didn't get a sack, cool. Because his job and Brian Burns' job are to get sacks. So if you're going to be mad at Kayvon Thibodeau, why are you not mad at Brian Burns, who's making $100 million to do it? See, that's what I'm saying. Just say you don't like Kayvon Thibodeau. Just say you don't like him. That's going to make more sense to me than acting as if he's not good. Because I remember people periodically throughout last year talking about it. Hey, guess what happens? This is what happens with defensive linemen. Unless your name is Watt, right? And now I'm talking about TJ Watt, but JJ Watt applies too. Then you're not going to get a sack every game. It's probably not happening. every defensive end or edge rusher in the NFL has games where they don't record a sack. It does not mean that they're not good. It doesn't mean that they're inconsistent. It just means it's hard to get sacks, and sacks are not really something that you can quantify. Sometimes you'll see guys get sacks just based off of the offensive play. Like, for instance, that play that the Giants love to run, where they slide the entire line one way and then they bring somebody back the other way to block the edge rusher. So then the edge rusher, who they think is going to squeeze down because that's what his real job is, says, screw that. Nobody's blocking me. I'm going to run directly for the quarterback. And you know what he does? He gets a sack because it's a stupid play that you're running. It's flawed logic that you're thinking. And the edge rusher, outside linebacker, whomever, they benefit from it. But if that doesn't happen, it's hard to make a sack. And you cannot quantify. You can't say, oh, this game he should have X sacks based off of the matchups. No. What if somebody gets there before him? Right? What if someone gets there before him? What if someone throws the ball away right when he has him in the grasp? There's tons of different factors that come into play on why somebody's not able to get a sack. So sacks aren't quantifiable. Pressures should be. And let's keep a spade a spade. Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns did not live up to the billing in game one. Brian Burns had four tackles, but nobody cares about those tackles. He was not brought here to get tackles. He was brought here to get sacks. And you want to know how I know that Giants fans are not going to be happy with Brian Burns getting tackles? Because they were not happy with Leonard Williams getting tackles. And Leonard Williams was brought here to get tackles. They just wanted him to be a sack master. They wanted him to be a sack master, but he wasn't. Brian Burns is supposed to be a sack master. Supposed to. I say supposed to because his season totals, right, have never been elite. He's only ever had like a good year. He's never had an elite year. Kayvon Thibodeau had more sacks last year than Brian Burns did. And you guys hate Kayvon Thibodeau. Not all of you. Not all of you. Some of you do. But there's problems in that defensive front. Dexter Lawrence cannot be the only one getting sacks. That is not a recipe for positivity for this defense. Looking at my notes. Secondary. One of the problems with the defensive line not getting pressure is the secondary was playing passive. And they're playing passive because that's the defense, right? That's the style of defense, that kind of bend but don't break. The only difference is bend but don't break with limited to no aggressiveness. And so they were just giving up passes, like giving up stuff constantly. When you're giving up those things like that, you can't get off the field. And when you can't get off the field, you wear down, dun-dun-dun-dun, your front line. The front line is the first thing to get worn down when you can't get off the field. And now you're into the backups. And if you put the backups in, if the starters weren't getting pressure, what do you think the backups are going to do? These backups are not better than the starters. So it was all bad. It was all bad. And then, on top of all of that, the tackling was still suspect. I don't know what has to be done in order to improve the tackling. I just know that the tackling needs to improve. There can't be people by or have a ball carry in the grasp and not bring them down. Too many times on Sunday, there was an opportunity for a ball carrier, a receiver to get taken to the ground, and it didn't happen. When it did, it looked marvelous. When it did, it looked great, right? Drew Phillips looked like a beast at times, and then Drew Phillips was chasing at times, right? Our safeties made a lot of tackles. I believe that Tyler Newbin was the leading tackler on the team. Well, guess what we've had in the past, ladies and gentlemen? Safeties being leading tacklers on the team. And those defenses were not that great. When the safety is the leading tackler on the team, that means that the ball carrier had to get past the line and the linebackers. That's what it means. These safeties are back here playing 25 yards off the ball. If they are the ones who are making the tackles, then the defense is in trouble. Simple and plain. Like, there's no argument. If the safety is making the tackles all the time, then the defense is in trouble. Two things are happening. Ball carriers are running past the defensive line and linebackers, or the safety is far back. So receivers are able to catch deep underneath passes, and now he's rallying to the ball. Either way is bad. Either way, the ball is continually moving forward. That's not good enough. That's just not good enough. You're not going to be able to win games that way. Now, just like I said with the offense, all of this is, hey, calm, pump the brakes. No need to panic. It's first week. But man, it looked bad. It looked bad. And Shane Bowen is going to have to change his spots, which is weird because most defensive coordinators, or offensive coordinators for that matter, have a hard time mixing up what it is they've kind of hung their hat on doing. Right? Like, if a guy's a 3-3 stack guy, it doesn't matter if he's getting destroyed in the 3-3 stack. He will likely continue to play the 3-3 stack. He won't because that's what he knows. He'll figure out how to stop whatever he needs to stop while playing the 3-3 stack. Never taking into consideration that his personnel just might not be adequate for the 3-3 stack. He'll just keep trying to make them better at running the 3-3 stack. Well, Shane Bowen can't sit back and be passive and think, oh, well, this personnel is just going to run this scheme better. Maybe he should think, yo, this scheme doesn't take full advantage of their athletic talents. There's no reason why we shouldn't be sending more 5-man pressures and 6-man pressures if we're not getting to the ball early. Early. Set the tone. Don't allow a quarterback to get comfortable, to get rhythm, to get confidence. Because if you do that, then when you do start sending pressure, guess what? They feel easy about it. But if you make them uneasy early in the game, when you start dropping more people in the coverage, they're still thinking about all the people coming for them, even if it's only 4. We're not playing those psychological games with the quarterback, so we're not reaping the benefits of what it should be, right? That's not what the Giants are doing right now as a coaching staff defensively. And they need to, because if not, they're going to have issues all season. It was also unsettling to watch as Carter Coughlin went off, one of their special team stalwarts. Like, not having him out there, definite blow to the special teams. I want to see more dynamics out of the out of return game. How do you turn the punt and the kick return into weapons? That's what you need to see. If you're not going to be able to move the ball offensively consistently, then you're going to need to be able to move the ball or set them up in better positions with special teams. There's a lot to digest. There's a lot to get ready for as we move into week two. Right? There's a lot to get ready for as we move into week two. No rest for the weary. The Giants have the Commanders. The Commanders will bring an entirely different set of problems, right? Namely in the quarterback. And so we'll see how the Giants are able to handle it. We'll talk more about that as we go throughout the week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. New York Giants on SI, that's where you get all of your New York Giants news and information from. Check out everything that we have going on over there. Make sure that you are following the YouTube channel or subscribe to the YouTube channel, New York Giants on SI on YouTube. Make sure that you follow me anywhere that you follow people on social media, at Gene Clemens. It's not time to just go, oh, we're going to have a bad season. It is time to go, we need to see some improvement immediately. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC Health/whatsyourwhy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.